This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
فيهم منهم أحدا إلا أن يشاء الله واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا. ولبثوا في كهفهم 300 سنين وازدادوا 9. قل الله أعلم بما لبثوا وله غيب السماوات والأرض أبصر به وأسمع ما لهم من دونه من ولي ولا يشرك في حكمه أحدا. صدق
Sadaqallahu Mawlana al-Azim. Verily Almighty Allah speaks the truth. My dearly beloved Jamaatul Muslimin, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. I'll greet again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, that sounds much better. Alhamdulillah, in the most sacred hour of Jumu'ah, and at least it gives me great pleasure to present to you our speaker for today, who really needs no introduction whatsoever, our very own Maulana Sulaiman Rawat from Radio Islam in Johannesburg, also a reputable personality globally, alhamdulillah. Without further ado, I will call upon the Honorable Maulana Sulaiman Rawat to address us on a very, very important topic of mental health, inshallah. فليتفضل مشكورا يا فضيلة الأستاذ.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله العلي الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى. أشهد أنه لا إله إلا هو، له الأسماء الحسنى، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صاحب المقام المعلى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الإنسان خلق هلوعا، إذا مسه الشر جزوعا، وإذا مسه الخير منوعا. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, mothers and sisters, and our beloved brethren from Palestine. Ahlan bikum ila Junubi Afriqiya. I think it would be an understatement if we were to say that we live in times of difficulty, hardship, trial, and travail. On an individual basis, people have financial problems, they have physical challenges, and they have mental and emotional hardships. On a national basis in South Africa, I don't have to start listing for you what are the issues and the challenges that we face on a daily basis. As a remark in passing, as soon as we touch down in Cape Town to come and report on the SONA, the first thing we're asking each other, when is load shedding? And as an ummah, what can I say? That in this year of 2024, the supposed progressive age, the world is not stopping a genocide that's playing out right in front of our eyes and ears. That is the context in which I want to unpack for you about our state of mental health. Because this has become a buzzword, it's a topical issue, everyone is giving their perspective. The question for us is, what does Islam say about mental health in the situation, in the circumstances, and in the conditions that we find ourselves in? That's the angle and that's the perspective that I want to highlight to you this afternoon. I'm not a psychologist, I'm not an expert on the medical or the psychological aspect of it, but it's work in progress. I'm studying, the scholars are studying, the doctors are researching, and I present to you what are my humble thoughts. If it's right, it's from Allah. If it's incorrect, may Allah forgive me. I want to center my discussion around answering four questions. The first is, what does Islam say about mental health? The second, what is the history and the legacy of mental health in Islam? The third, what is the difference between the secular approach and the Islamic approach to mental health? And the fourth, most importantly, what are the treatments and the solutions when it comes to managing mental health from the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now, if we look at the first of those four questions, what is the Islamic position on mental health? The Quran tells us and reminds us, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Our position is always a moderate one, always a balanced one. Now there's one view, which in my opinion is an erroneous view, where some Muslims say, hey, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never went to a psychologist. He never went for therapy. What is all this? And then that's one extreme. Another extreme is the secular view, that mental health is purely physical, biological, and it should be treated only biologically or medically. They take spirituality out of the equation altogether. The Islamic viewpoint is the moderate viewpoint between the two. You cannot exclude spirituality and religion. At the same time, you cannot say that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not see a psychologist or a psychiatrist or Sahaba didn't go for therapy, because I will prove to you from Quran and Sunnah that these are real issues that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam educated us about. So as Muslims, we believe that mental health is hinged on multiple factors. One, the physical and biological. Two, the emotional and psychological. Three, the spiritual. And four, the metaphysical and external factors. That's where, you know, you get jinn and jadu and black magic. So most of the time, mental health challenges are a combination of these things. It's not just one factor to the total exclusion of the others. So when it comes to prevention, when it comes to treatment and cure, it will also revolve around multiple factors: biological, psychological, physical, as well as spiritual. I must mention that maintaining and treating your mental health is as, if not more important than maintaining and treating your physical health. Our minds, our thoughts, our feelings need to be cared for. Like you care for your physical body, you need to care for your inner, for your mental state of well-being. Because mental health is governed by internal factors like anxiety, fear, depression, and worry, as well as external factors such as sickness, hardship, and loss. So that's the answer to the first question. What does Islam say about mental health? It's a moderate position. It's not only biological, you can't exclude religion and the spiritual. The second question, what is the legacy of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam when it comes to mental health? It is incorrect for us to think that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam did not deal with emotional challenges. They had to deal with emotional challenges. Look at what the Quran tells us about Yaqub alayhi salam when he lost his son. He was in a state of deep emotion. He lost his sight. Ya asafa ala Yusuf wabyaddat aynahu min al-husni fahuwa kadhim. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was a prophet, son of a prophet, grandson of a prophet, father of a prophet, but he had an emotional challenge that he had to deal with. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the revelation stopped for a while, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam became sad, depressed. until Allah revealed the verse, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. We know when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lost in 1 year both his uncle Abu Talib and his wife Khadija, the ulama have referred to that year as Amul Huzn, as the year of sorrow. So it shows Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to deal with those emotions. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was holding his son Ibrahim as he was about to take the last breath, the tears were flowing down his cheeks. And he said, إِنَّ الْأَيْنَ تَدْمَعُ. The eyes will cry. وَالْقَلْبَ يَحْزَنُ. The heart is grieving. وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يَرْضَى رَبُّنَا. But we will only say that which is pleasing to Allah. وَإِنَّ بِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَمَحْزُونُونَ. Ibrahim, your departure from this world has broken my heart. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to deal with those emotions. There's an amazing dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam which speaks about mental health, where the Nabi of Allah says, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan. Now if you look at the different words, in this dua, it talks volumes about mental health. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Oh Allah, I seek your protection from ham. Ham is a state of constant worry, you know, an agitated restlessness when you're on the edge all the time, where everything and everyone gets on your nerves. Many of us would identify with that at some point or the other in our lives. So, إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْهَمِّ وَالْحُزْنِ. What is huzn? It's a deep sorrow where you start to think that I'll never be happy after this because of something that happened in your life. وَالْعَجْز. What is عَجْز? It's a sense of inability where you feel helpless, hopeless, you have a bleak outlook, you think nothing will improve. وَالْكَسْل. Laziness and fatigue, where you feel so lethargic, you don't want to do anything. Even small tasks require an enormous amount of energy, and that now breeds laziness and it breeds incapacity. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَالْجُبْن. Cowardice. When you lack self-confidence, when you don't believe in yourself, when you feel you're unworthy, where you criticize yourself too much, where you perceive faults in yourself and there isn't faults. وَالْبُخْل. To be self-centered. Where you live your life only worried about yourself and your own welfare and not worried about others and the welfare of others. وَغَلَبَتِ الدَّيْنِ وَقَهْرِ الرِّجَالِ. To be overcome by debt and to be subjugated by another man. This dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an encyclopedia in the understanding of mental health from an Islamic perspective. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us you're going to go through ups and downs, and you've got to seek protection in Allah from that. He's teaching us that sadness and sorrow is a normal reaction to life's struggles and setbacks. There is no human that has lived, there is no human that is living, and there is no human that will live that never had a day of sorrow in his life. Why? Because it is only in Jannah that there is no sorrow. Ya ibadi, la khawfun alaykum al-yawma, wa la antum tahzanun. In Jannah, there is no fear over what will happen in the future, nor any worry or grief over what happened in the past. But in this world, you've got to struggle. You've got to deal with that. And that's why the verses which I recited in my introduction, Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِكَ هَلُوعًا. That man has been created hasty. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. Whenever misfortune touches him, he's filled with self-pity. On this issue of the Islamic legacy, I've highlighted to you how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us about mental health. There may not have been therapy in the formal sense as we understand it today, or psychologists or psychiatrists, but it was acknowledged and it was treated. And we see throughout the legacy, for example, the Abbasid Khalif, he asked Al-Kindi to look at the Islamic teachings, then to look at other teachings as well and see what fits into the Islamic teachings. And Kindi wrote a book on mental health called The Trick to Repelling Sorrows. The Trick to Repelling Sorrows. Then there is the great scholar as well, Balkhi, who wrote a book, Sustenance of the Body and the Soul. So treatment of mental health is something which is part of our Islamic heritage. It's something which is part of our Islamic history and legacy. Now to the third of the four questions that I want to unpack for you this afternoon. What is the difference between the Islamic understanding and the Islamic approach to mental health and the secular approach? You see, in Islam we believe man is a combination of body and soul, ruh and jasad. Like you nourish your body, you've got to nourish your soul. You cannot negate the soul and only focus on the body, because then you're going to have an internal disconnect. And the soul was there before, the soul will be there after. The soul came before the body and it continues after the body. Now, the secular approach is all about servicing the needs of the body only and satisfying the desires of the body only. The secular approach is, in life you must pursue pleasure. And the mistake they make is they don't understand the difference between pleasure and true happiness. Pleasure has got to do with your human senses, it's temporary. True happiness is an internal condition. You can have nothing of this dunya, but you can still be happy. You can have every pleasure in this dunya, and you can still be unhappy. And that's the fundamental difference between the Islamic approach and the secular approach. Now, having understood that, the secular approach is all about the body and the physical world. The Islamic approach is about the body, the physical world, the soul, and the akhirah, the spiritual world. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir," that this dunya is a place of restriction for a believer. Allah has promised us in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah says, I will definitely test you. Some will be tested more, some will be tested less. But مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُصِبْ مِنْهُ. When Allah intends good for you, Allah afflicts you with more difficulty. The more Allah loves you, the more Allah tests you. Wow to our brothers and sisters in Palestine. Look at how Allah loves them. Look at their strength in mental health, their fortitude, their resilience, their iman. It's an inspiration for us. We make dua for them. Our hearts ache and bleed for them. What they go through is no joke. May Allah not test us like this, because we don't have the strength. They have been prepared as a generation with that mental fortitude and resilience to be able to withstand what they are withstanding, not on behalf of themselves, but on behalf of the Ummah. Qadiyatul Aqsa al-Mubarak is not only their responsibility, it's the responsibility of the entire Ummah. And they bearing that responsibility on behalf of the entire Ummah. We are in awe, we are in debt. May Allah bless them, protect them, preserve them, and liberate them from oppression. You see, brothers, I want to make a very important point. The difference between the Islamic perspective to mental health and the Western perspective. In the Western perspective, pain is seen as something that needs to be removed immediately. In Islam, you don't wish for pain. Salillah al-afiya, you ask Allah for ease. But if pain comes by the divine decree of Allah, you use it as an energizer. Because the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had to go through pain. Pain for a Muslim is not an obstacle. Loss of life, loss of property, loss of family. You don't wish for it. It's hard, it's painful. But Allah in His wisdom has a plan. And you've got to trust in Allah's plan. Pain energizes you. It brings you closer to Allah. It wipes off your sins. It increases your status. Not only when you are being bombarded. The hadith says, any tension, any stress, any illness, any fatigue, any worry, any grief, even the pricking of a thorn, that pain, Allah removes the sin, Allah increases your good deeds. So for a believer, pain is something which is a blessing from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. You don't wish for it because you don't want to show courage in front of Allah. But when it comes, you must realize Allah loves me. That's why Allah is testing me. And لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah knows better than you what you can manage. And Allah won't test you more than what you can manage. The main thing is, we must keep Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala happy. My time is fast running out, brothers. Let's look at some treatments and solutions from the Quran and Sunnah. The first lesson and the first treatment for mental health in an Islamic, from an Islamic perspective, is to develop your spirituality, develop your connection with Allah. Now let me explain something. It doesn't mean if somebody has mental health challenges that his iman is weak. No. Understand it like this. They'll tell you, the doctor will tell you, that good diet is the foundation of good health, right? Good diet is the foundation of good health. But sometimes a person eats in a very good way, his nutrition is good, but he still has a sickness. Now that comes from Allah. That's a test. But when that sickness comes, if you are in a good state of health, you are in a better position to deal with that sickness, as compared to a person who's compromised. Similarly, It doesn't mean that if you have a strong relationship with Allah, you won't be tested mentally and emotionally. The Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were tested, and no one has stronger iman than them. But what it means is, when the test comes, then you'll be able to pass it like the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam passed it. So the first treatment is, solidify your belief in taqdeer. Nothing happens without the help of Allah. And I've been saying this in my talks of late. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mu'minu al-qawi khayrun wa ahabbu ilallahi min al-mu'min al-da'if. That the strong believer is better than the weak believer, although both have iman and they are good. Why? Not only strong in terms of your six-pack and your abs, strong in your mind, in your spirit, in your iman. That no matter what's happening, ihris ala ma yanfa'uka wasta'in billahi wa la ta'jaz. Continue to pursue that which is of benefit to you as an individual and as an ummah, seeking help from Allah and never ever becoming hopeless no matter what the situation and circumstances are. Nabi Sallallahu said to Ibn Abbas, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوِجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. No one can harm you, even if the whole of humanity wants to harm you or benefit you. Only that which Allah wants will happen. Only that which Allah wants will happen. The second thing is sabr. So first is you establish your relationship with Allah. Whenever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through difficulty, Ta'if was his most difficult moment. Most difficult moment. Out of Makkah, out of Ta'if, in no man's land, the blood is flowing, the shoes are clogging. What does he say? Allahumma ilayka ashku da'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani 'ala an-nas. Doesn't blame the Meccans, doesn't blame the people of Ta'if, doesn't say, oh Allah, what's happening to me? Aren't I your Nabi? Oh Allah, I complain to you. Illam yakun bika 'alayya ghadabun fala ubali. Allah, if you're not angry with me, I don't care what they do to me. I'm only focused on making you happy. Let me tell you this about mental health. If Allah is happy with you, you will be happy. And if Allah is not happy with you, you will never be happy. Strive to make Allah happy. Sabr is what? Ibn Qayyim says, sabr is self-regulation. Sabr is restraining yourself, developing mental strength and building, living in the present. You learn from the past, you don't live in the past. You prepare for the future, you don't obsess over the future. You live in the present. The third thing is a solution from Quran and Sunnah is dua. Dua. Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, when I make dua, I don't obsess about whether Allah will give me what I want or not. I just enjoy having the conversation with Allah. Sometimes you see some of the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there isn't a direct request. You're just calling out unto Allah because you know He's the solution to all problems. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Look at Ayyub alayhi salam. He was afflicted by illness upon illness. He didn't say, Allah, I got this illness, that illness. He just said, أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Allah, I'm afflicted. You know better than me how I'm afflicted. I have mercy in you. I have hope in you because you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. The next is salah. Let me just tell you before we talk about salah. You know these daily du'as that we were taught from when we were little? The du'a before entering the toilet, exiting the toilet, Ayatul Kursi, very powerful. That is the most effective preventative measure against jinn, jadu, black magic and sorcery. So we mustn't only leave those du'as to learn when we're in maktab, we must make that part of our daily life as a prevention. After that, if Allah wants for you to be afflicted, then you'll be afflicted, then you must pursue the cure and treatment. Salah allows a human to enter into the presence of the divine, to spiritually leave this world. The harmony of the body and the spirit comes together. You recognize the purpose of life in salah. I'm saying, since October 7th, how many of us have become better namazis with our salah? Since October 7th, how many of us have become better Muslims? Since October 7th, how many of us have made an intention that I'm going to give up sin for the liberation of Aqsa in Palestine? Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bianfusihim. We've got to do everything else. Our activism, our political engagement, boycotting, all of that has its place. But the foundation, whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in difficulty, Bilal, give the adhan. Bilal, give the adhan. Turn back to Allah. Establish your connection with Allah. Dhikr. They say your thoughts have an effect on your health. Mental health is more about your thoughts than anything else. If your thoughts can have an effect on your health, then why can't dhikr have an effect on your mental state of well-being? Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Another point, and I'm wrapping up, in terms of a solution from the Quran and Sunnah for good mental health is husnu dhanni billah. Min husnil ibadah, the hadith says. It's ibadah to have good expectations of Allah. It's ibadah to have good expectations of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yaqub alayhi salam lost his son Yusuf. Then he lost Binyamin. Then he lost his eldest son. But look at his expectation of Allah. He says that I have hope in Allah that Allah will bring back to me all three of my sons. I have hope in Allah that Allah will bring back to me all three of my sons. My time is up. Part of the solutions from the sunnah, have an attitude of gratitude. Look at what you have, not what you don't have. Stop comparing yourself to others. Stop flaunting everything on social media. Then you say people are jealous of you, but you're provoking their jealousy. If Allah has blessed you with the ni'mah and bounty, it's not for everyone to know. Everyone else is not so privileged. And do for others. The more you do for others, the more you will be happy. The more you forgive others, the more you will feel liberated, inshallah. If you fail, remember you haven't truly failed until you give up. If you fail, try again, try again. Don't let it cripple you mentally. And in the end, trust in Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. I'll leave you with these remarks. See, we're going through a difficult time. And sometimes we wonder, when is the help of Allah coming? مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. And Allah says, أَلَّا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Allah works according to His plan. We sometimes would see that that king with perverted sexual tendencies took capture of Sarah. It's a bad thing. But if he didn't take capture of Sarah, there would have been no Hajar. If there was no Hajar, there would have been no Ismail. If there was no Ismail, there would be no Zamzam and Hajj. If there was no Ismail, there would have been no Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah works according to His plan. Fir'aun's decline started before Musa alayhi salam was born. When they told him that a boy from the Banu Israel will bring your kingdom to its knees, psychologically he was already defeated. A lot of things happened after that. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had to be born. Then he had to grow up in his palace. Then he had to come back as a Nabi. But when, then he made dua. Oh Allah, destroy him. Allah said, okay, I'll destroy him. And only 40 years later, Allah destroyed him. Allah works according to His plan. We don't know the wisdom. We must do what is within our ability to do and leave the results in the hands of Allah. But when did Allah destroy Fir'aun? When Fir'aun thought that now I've got him. Between the sea and the devil and the dark blue sea. When Fir'aun thought, now I got them and now I'm victorious. And the Banu Israel thought that no, now we are totally defeated. See, Musa alayhi salam did what was within his ability. He exercised all the means. Then he said, Kalla inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. And Pharaoh was defeated. Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam did whatever was in his means. Then when they came to the mouth of the cave and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, they're going to catch us. He said, Inna allaha ma'ana. Ibrahim alayhi salam did whatever he could do to the best of his ability. Then when they catapulted him into the fire, he said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. So on the topic of mental health from an Islamic perspective, ours is a point of balance and moderation. It's not only physical, it's spiritual as well. But there is a physical, psychological element to it. It's a reality. We should not stigmatize it. Like people have physical illnesses, they have mental and emotional illnesses. But the Quran and Sunnah gives us many cures. May Allah assist all those who are going through any difficulty and hardship, be it physical, mental, emotional, or financial. May Allah assist us in our individual difficulties, in our challenges as in the country. And may Allah liberate Aqsa in our lifetime, inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad.
Takbir. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Shukran, jazakallah khair and paitrama kasi to Maulana Sulaiman Rawat for a very soul-stirring nasiha speaking to us on mental health from an Islamic perspective. Jazakallah Maulana, and also shukran to Maulana Baam for accompanying Maulana Sulaiman here today. May Almighty Allah grant us the understanding. Amen. Just a few announcements. The Medina Institute is offering tuition in mathematics and physical sciences at the Medina Institute in Belgravia. That is every Saturday morning. The further details of this are on the notice boards, inshallah, at the back. And then we have been asked to make dua shifa for the following people. Our very own in-house psychologist, Dr. Hussein Ibrahim, who might be going for a serious operation. We ask Allah for success. Also, dua shifa for Mrs. Amina Tayyib, the mom of Shabir from Mokopani, which was known as Potchitesres before. and also dua shifa for Haji Abdurrahman Muhammad, the father of Dr. Izzet, one of our committee members. May Allah grant all our sick people at home and in hospital shifa and kamila. Amin ya Rabbal Alameen. We have been asked to make dua for Haji Ramiz Raycliffe, who passed on Tuesday, the 6th of February. He's the eldest son of Muhammad Saleh Raycliffe, who was affectionately known as Butamana and also Julaiha Raycliffe Bully. May Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. And also dua for Mrs. Noor Sakina from Pakistan, who passed on earlier today. She is the mom of our brother Ahmad sitting there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put sabr in the hearts of the families, and may Allah grant all our deceased Jannatul Firdaus. Amin ya Rabbal Alameen. Masjid al-Quds has come out with the Palestine Solidarity Boards, which we can put up on our fences to show support and solidarity for the Palestine cause. The boards are available for purchase at the back, inshallah. This coming Sunday evening, we will be welcoming the world-renowned Sheikh Dr. Azam Tamimi, who is a British-Palestinian academic and a political activist. He will be here at Masjid al-Quds from Maghrib to Isha for a presentation. Everyone is welcome. Ladies as well as gentlemen, everyone is welcome. And then, of course, Masjid al-Quds will be having the last 10 days of Ramadan. We will be having a tour to Masjid al-Aqsa for itikaf, inshallah. Those who are interested, they can contact Brother Umar Royke or any of our committee members. Our Palestinian brothers are here today, and inshallah, the last 10 days of Ramadan, we will be in Al-Aqsa. Amen. Make dua that Allah make this intended tour a success for us to go in, spend the necessary 10 days of itikaf in Ramadan in Al-Aqsa, and to come out safely back to our families and friends, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, it now gives me great pleasure to welcome our Palestinian brothers who are here on the soccer tournament, and they have been playing in the Asian Cup in Qatar, and today they are here in South Africa. MashaAllah, Ahlul Falestine, Ahlul Fayad wal Karam, Nuhibbukum wallah, wa nahnu ma'akum fi tahriri Falestine, wa Masjid al-Aqsa, inshallah. أسألكم يعني تعظيما قوموا فلسطينيين قوموا and face the Jamaat. These are Palestine soccer team. Turn around. Takbir! 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 Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. We wish you well, inshallah, for the stay here in Cape Town. Shukran. Jazakumullah khair. I would like to thank the following people who made this possible today here. First and foremost, Abu Bakr Qasim, affectionately known as Bubi. And I see we also have our very own soccer champion, very well-known soccer player. I played against him when I was playing for the Ulama team with the VOC, and I kicked him lekker, mashallah. None other than Haji Bubi Solomon sitting there, mashallah. Was it Makal? Lekker getikkel, mashallah. And then also Haji Noor Nasiruddin, and also Brother Nadim Hendricks. And of course, the head of the security, none other than Colonel Dawood Lang. Mashallah, Colonel, ahlan wa sahlan to you. So I would like to call on Bubi for 1 or 2 minutes for the most, just to say something, because I believe they have a message for us. Do you want to give the message on behalf of them, or shall we just proceed? Very quickly, our time is limited.
Okay, just on behalf of the Palestinian team, they're just here for two reasons. Firstly, they're here to come and play soccer, but they're also here to thank the South Africans for what they did, taking Israel to the court and the successes they reached. But they are asking from all of us to come and support them on Sunday. We know we're playing against Bubi Solomon's team there, but I believe that everyone here is supporting us as the Palestinian team. I also want to say to Sheikh, Sheikh Shukran for having us, and from the Palestinian team and also from Triple S, we don't owe Majid al-Kut anything now because you threatened me to bring the team here. Shukran.
MashaAllah, Afwan, it's a pleasure. And once again, Jazakallah khair for facilitating the presence of this beautiful Palestinian team. Ahlan wa sahlan bikum. Wallahi natasharra bihudurikum. Wa antum tunawwir Cape Town al-yawm, alhamdulillah. Barakallahu fikum. So Maulana Sulaiman will also do the khutbatain on the mimbar as well as the salah. And Maulana will also do the qunut an-nazila in the salah, inshallah, asking Allah for victory for the Palestinian mujahideen and victory for every inch of land of Palestine, which is non-negotiable. So inshallah, when the qunut is brought from the core of your being, say Ameen. Let our Ameen reach the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. Shukran, Jazakallah khair. And once again, Maulana Sulaiman and Maulana Bam, Paya Bayat Ramakasi, as we say in Cape Town.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. Hayya 'ala s-salah. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح.
إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وذل الشرك والمشركين. رب اختم لنا بالخير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئًا. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وأوثق العرى كلمة التقوى، وخير الملل ملة إبراهيم عليه السلام، وخير السنن سنة محمدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأشرف الحديث ذكر الله، وأحسن القصص القرآن، وخير الأمور عوازمها، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وأحسن الهدي هدي الأنبياء، وأشرف القتل قتل الشهداء، وأعمى العمى الضلالة بعد الهدى. واليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى، وما قل وكفى خير مما كثر وألهى، وشر المعذرة حين يحضر الموت، وشر الندامة يوم القيامة. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة، فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.
اللهم صل وسلم وزد وعلم وتفضل وبارك بجلالك وكمالك على زين عبادك وأشرف عبادك سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وصحبه وسلم سلم ورضي الله تبارك وتعالى عن كل صحابة أجمعين.
إن الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه ونشكره جل وعلا على صلوا وسلموا رحمكم الله على خير البرية وأفضل البشرية وأزكى الإنسانية الهادي البشير السراج المنير الصادق الوعد الأمين محمد ابن عبد الله، كما أمركم الله في قوله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ورد اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن الصحابة أجمعين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر من نصر الدين، اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين، اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان يا أرحم الراحمين، اللهم انصر إخواننا المظلومين المستضعفين في كل مكان يا أكرم الأكرمين، اللهم انصر إخواننا في غزة، اللهم انصر إخواننا في غزة هاشم، اللهم عجل بنصرهم يا قوي يا عزيز، اللهم أرنا فيهم عجائب قدرتك، اللهم عليك بأعدائهم أعدائنا أعداء الدين، اللهم عليك بهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك، اللهم حرر الأقصى من أيدي الظالمين الغاصبين، ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون، فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. أقم الصلاة. رحمني ورحمكم الله.
Inshallah, fi rakat al-thaniya, al-imam sayaqra'u al-qunut al-nazila ba'da al-ruku qabla sujud. Taib? Kindly make the sauce, please. Heels on the line, shoulder to shoulder. And we also thank the SABC for being present. Shukran.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala salati, hayya ala al-falah. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استو أقيموا صفوفكم وسدوا الخلف خلل الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك اللهم لك الحمد حمدا دائما مع دوامك ولك الحمد حمدا خالدا مع خلودك ولك الحمد حمدا لا منتهى له دون علمك ولك الحمد
الحمد حمدا لا منتهى له دون مشيتك. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر إخواننا المظلومين المستضعفين في كل مكان يا أرحم الراحمين، ويا أكرم الأكرمين، ويا ذا القوة المتين، ويا راحم المساكين، ويا ذا الفضل المبين، ويا ذا العرش العظيم. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين، اللهم انصر إخواننا في غزة، اللهم عجل بنصرهم يا قوي يا عزيز، اللهم أرنا فيهم عجائب قدرتك، اللهم حرر الأقصى من أيدي الظالمين الغاصبين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان، ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا، ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الله أكبر. استغفر الله، استغفر الله، استغفر الله. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله.